take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, verse number 15. We'll read verses 15 down to verse number 17. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 17. We're going to address the issue of God's presence and God's guidance in our lives. And thus far we've been studying the tabernacle, and there is a wonderful lesson for you and I concerning God's guidance connected with the tabernacle. So let's read verses 15 to 17. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Let's pray. O God in heaven, we are thankful for your love. We're thankful for your unconditional love towards us, reflected in the Lord Jesus, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O God, as we spend these few moments within your eternal word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us. O God, teach us concerning your guidance, your leadership upon our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we've been studying the tabernacle, we have learnt how we can know him. We've learnt how we can commune with him. And I trust we are learning the reality of his presence and power in our lives. And that's the ultimate goal within the teaching of the Old Testament tabernacle, is that you and I will move beyond just knowing him, communing with him, but have the reality of God's presence and power at work within and through your life and my life. And if we fall short at this stage, then we miss the central teaching of the tabernacle. And it's summed up there in Hebrews chapter 10, which I'd like to just review. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, sums up the teaching of the tabernacle and the whole purpose of the spiritual lesson for you and I within the tabernacle. Note here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the holy of holies, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the Bible teaches us, according to verse 22, we can draw near. We can draw near with a true heart, a whole heart, a consecrated heart, by faith, full assurance of faith, as clean vessels. So it's possible for you and I as God's people to not only to know him, to fellowship with him, but also to know the reality of his presence and his power at work within our lives and through our lives. There is also something that we continually need that is taught within the tabernacle, and that is God's guidance. God's guidance is very closely connected to his presence. We need it. And I trust that you and I want it. I trust that we want the guidance of God. The Bible teaches us here in Numbers chapter 9 that hovering over the tabernacle was a cloud during the day and a fire by night. Why? To provide guidance. Guidance for God's people. Are you in need of specific guidance at this time? Well, God's guidance is available for you and I that know Him as personal Saviour. And I'd like for us to study this passage of Scripture from Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 down to verse number 23. And I'd like for us to note a number of principles concerning God's guidance, God's leadership. Because we're all in need of direction, are we not? We're all in need of guidance. We all are in need of remaining within the will of God. And if we're to remain within the will of God, then we need God's guidance upon our lives. We need to make sure that we are listening and obeying God's voice and not all of these other voices around us. There are many voices today, but God speaks in and through His eternal Word. And His guidance is always in harmony with His Word. So let's note some principles within the Scriptures that might help us to be discerning concerning the guidance of God, the leadership of God in your life and in my life, because we're in need of it. The first principle I'd like for us to note is found within verse number 15, and that is that His guidance is a companion to His presence. God's guidance is a companion to His presence. Note then verse 15, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, the tabernacle proper, that is. At even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So with the setting up of the tabernacle, God's guidance in the presence of a cloud by day and a fire by night was there to lead and guide the people of God. And the initial point I want to make this evening concerning God's guidance upon your life and my life is that we need to understand that God's presence and God's guidance are one. God's presence and God's guidance are one. If we know the reality of God's presence, we are assured of the fact of His guidance. So with the setup of the tabernacle, there was God present, but there was God available to guide them and to lead them accordingly. If you and I are a child of God, then you have the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit who indwells you and seeks to guide you in harmony with the eternal Word of God. And the question must be asked, does God indwell your life? Have you turned from sin and received Him as personal Savior and Lord? Because you and I, as children of God, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the tabernacle of God. So with God's presence, there is the availability of God's guidance. Because His presence and His guidance are one. You get my point? His presence and His guidance are one. And that ought to be a source of an encouragement for you and I, that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then our bodies are the temple, the tabernacle of God the Spirit, and therefore we can have the assurance of God's guidance. So that's where we begin. Do you want God's guidance upon your life? Then you and I need to walk in the reality of His presence. We need to walk in the reality of His presence and power. And we need to get a grip of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 22, and know by practical experience what it means to enter into the holies of holies and know the very presence, the very power of God. And when you come to that point in your Christian experience, you will have no doubt concerning the guidance of God. Because the cloud and the fire will be there. The cloud and the fire will be there. But there is a connection between God's presence and God's guidance. That's where we begin. So what do I do with all that? Walk with God. Walk with God. Beyond just going through the motions of just reading your Bible and praying, I'm saying walk with God. Have such a quiet time and a devotional time that you know that you're in the presence of God. Now, if you can't relate to that, well, I'm praying for you. And when you can reach that point in your Christian experience, when you can have such a rich devotional life and a rich prayer time that you know what it means to be in the presence of God and to know His presence, to know His power, then you are where you ought to be. And therefore God can guide you. God can lead you. His presence and His guidance are one. So we need to work on our personal walk with God. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 22 needs to be a reality in your life. There's a little book written by an author by the name of Andrew Murray. He's got it. It's a separate little book. It is gold. Gold. It's about 8 chapters. Little book. It'll transform your life. It'll teach you what it means to know God and to know His presence from a man that knew the presence of God. That's at no extra charge. The second principle is found in verse number 16. The first principle is that His presence and His guidance are one. So we need to know His presence. We need to walk with God. Note then verse 16, a second principle. And it deals with the issue of a promise. Note here in verse 16 it reads, so it was always. Absolute. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. His guidance was constant. Note the usage of the word always. When the Lord Jesus gave the great commission there in Matthew chapter 28, He said, I will be with you always. Not always, always. Definite, full stop. I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you and I as the people of God need to trust Him that we have within His presence His guidance. We need to cleave unto that promise that within His presence there is the reality of His guidance. We need to trust Him even when God seems silent, that God is with us always. And if God's presence is with us always, then we have the guidance of God. The guidance of God is with us. Now He might not be specifically leading us at this point in time, but His guidance is by default leading us. Note there in Isaiah chapter 50, please, for a moment. Isaiah chapter 50. Good advice for you and I. If we are to know His guidance, we need to claim His guidance. God promised His guidance always. Note then Isaiah 50 and 10 and 11. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, and walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. he shall lie down in sorrow. The Bible teaches us in essence here that there are times when the child of God that is seemingly walking in obedience goes through a patch of darkness, walks in darkness where there's no light. And the Bible encourages us to continue to trust Him, to rest upon Him. And the Bible encourages you and I not to take matters into our own hands and not to try to light up the way, so to speak, in our own strength. Because that will lead to sorrow. That will lead to disappointment. There are times when the child of God will go through periods of darkness. And maybe that's you right now. You're wanting the guidance of God and it seems like you're walking in darkness. Well, let me encourage you, keep trusting in the Lord. Keep your focus upon the Lord. Guard against kindling your own light, because that will lead to sorrow. That will lead to disappointment. Cleave unto the promise of God that God is with us always. And because God is with us always, His presence and His guidance is available for you and I. And God said to His people here in Numbers chapter 9 verse 16, I will be with you always. And we need to be mindful of that, that with His presence comes His guidance, and His guidance is permanent. We can cleave unto the promise of God in hope of eternal life that God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Just like we rest by faith in the promise of God that he that has the Son has life and he that has not the Son of God has life. We cleave unto that promise, do we not? Let's cleave unto the promise that God is with us and therefore God will guide. God will lead. Don't lose hope. Believe the reality of that. We need to remember the Lord, do we not? The Bible teaches us, remember the Lord time and time again. God won't forget us, but we're often forgetful of Him. I love this precious verse in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. Listen carefully, it reads, Behold, I have graven thee. I've cut in stone thee upon the palms of my hands, in the hollow of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. We need to remember the Lord. We need to remember the Lord. So God's guidance is constant. God's guidance is a companion to His presence. But note here in verse number 17, please, a further principle concerning God's guidance. Numbers 9:17, And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Who's following who? Talk to me. Is the cloud following the people of God? Or are the people of God following the cloud? That's how it ought to be, ought it not? Oh, Pastor, that's elementary. Of course it's elementary. And that's the very reason why many of us are struggling with knowing God's will, because if the truth be known, you're doing the leading and you're asking God to follow you. You're full of your own selfish little agenda and you just want God to fit into your agenda, but God's saying, no, that's not how it works. When I say move, you move. When I say stay put, you stay put. You follow me, I don't follow you. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Who's following who? That's the problem with many of God's people. That's why many of us are struggling with knowing the will of God. Because if the truth be known, you are asking God to follow you. Instead of you and I truly following Him. We need to be prepared to follow Him. And maybe, just maybe, just a random possibility, if we would just be prepared to follow Him, maybe there might be some clarity. Look at Matthew chapter 8 quickly. Matthew chapter 8. I laugh at this point because I'm often having people say to me, Pastor, I just need to know what God wants me to do and why won't God show me? I just need direction and leadership. And I'm thinking in my little brain, well, follow Him. It seems like you've made up your mind what you want to do. You just want God to cash in. That's not how it works. That's not how God works. Look here in Matthew chapter 8. A test of fellowship. Chapter 8, verses 19 and 20 it reads. Matthew 8, 19 and 20. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow, what a confession. I'll go wherever you want me to go, O Lord. But note our Lord's response in verse 20. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You really want to follow me? Well, I'll guarantee you no permanent dwelling. You really want to follow me? Do you really mean it? When you and I say, yes, Lord, I will follow you, do we really mean it? That could be the very problem why we're struggling with knowing God's will. Who's following who? We say on the surface, Lord, I'll follow you. But look, if the truth be known, we're all made of the same stuff, flesh, sinful flesh. The struggle for most of us is that we've got our own little ideas. Talk to me. We do, don't we? We've got our own little agendas. And that's the problem. That's the problem. And until you and I come to that point where you will really mean what you say and say what you mean, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever. And God knows when we come to that point. And when you and I come to that point, and boy, what a point it is, then the guidance will be there. Amen? That's when it will be there. Look at verses 18 and 19, please, of Numbers chapter 9 and some further principles concerning God's guidance. These verses address the issue of patience and waiting upon the Lord. Back in Numbers chapter 9, verses 19 and 18 and 19, pardon me, verses 18 and 19. And the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in the tents. Verse 19, and when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And I see within these verses a principle. It deals with the issue of patience and waiting upon the Lord. Patience and waiting upon the Lord. Remaining within God's boundaries. Remaining within the garden, so to speak. God placed Adam and Eve within the Garden of Eden. It's within that garden that God promised to provide all of His needs and her needs as well. Within the garden. And if you and I are to know the guidance of God and to hear very clearly the voice of God, then you and I need a measure of patience, and we need to understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the Bible teaches us that ye are in need of patience. And don't we need patience? Men might have bigger brains than women, but they lack patience. In fact, it's a human problem, okay? Exemplified more so in the life of a man. So get ready for that, young ladies, that when you marry a man, you marry impatience to a measure. Patience. Patience. God wants us to be patient. God wants us to wait upon Him. And if you and I are to enjoy God's guidance and God's direction, then you and I need to understand what it means to be patient and to wait upon the Lord. Note there in Proverbs 27, please. Proverbs 27, verse 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Patience. Patience. We are prone to being impatient. We want to know now everything that God has for us. Am I right or not? Talk to me. We do, don't we? And it's because of this impatience that we are, the issue is getting, it's not there. The clarity is not there because of our lack of patience. And you and I need to understand what it means to patiently wait upon the Lord. And you and I can cry, oh God, I just want to know what you want me to do. And God say, be patient. Wait upon me. I will let you know in my time, not on your time. My time is perfect. I work from and for eternity. I don't work according to your schedule. You need to jump onto my schedule. And until you and I understand what it means to be patient and to wait upon God and to spend time with God and enjoy His presence and commune with God and claim the promise that God will guide, then God will guide. Most of us are impatient. It's a human nature problem. It is. And it's evident within the spiritual life of the child of God. Our lack of faith. We want to know now. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And that's evident here in verses 18 and 19. But note then verses 20 and 21, the Bible gives us a further principle concerning God's guidance. Note then verses 19 and 20, please. It reads, and when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Now we go into 20 and 21. Note, and so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Look closely at verse 21. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up. They journeyed. They journeyed. God's people were prepared to follow specific instructions. Whether they moved by day or whether they moved by night, they were prepared and they were willing to move accordingly. And the point I want to make is this, that you and I, if we are to know the guidance of God upon our lives, then we need to be
particular in following specific instructions. We need to be given the details. God's guidance involves details. Well, Pastor, I'm not into details. Well, neither am I in principle, but spiritually I need to be when it comes to the guidance of God, because God works slowly but surely, line upon line, precept upon precept. We need to be given the detail. And if we'll take that first initial step of detail, God will reveal the next step of detail. And God's people will instruct it, whether we move at night, whether we move in the day, you will move when I call you to move. That's detail. And that is the missing element in the life of the average child of God. That they are not prepared to follow specific detail when it comes to God's guidance. In the life of Elisha, he was confronted by a widower and her son, and she said she was preparing her last meal before she was about to die. And the man of God said to her, "Feed me first and God will take care of you." Just a little bit of detail. Well, thank God she obeyed the man of God and she did take care of the man of God and she had plenty. God provided for her. I think of the Lord Jesus feeding the thousands and our Lord instructing the disciples to put them in groups of 50 and feed them accordingly, to sit them down and to put them in groups of 50 and to feed them accordingly. Detail. Detail. And beloved, if you and I are to know the guidance of God, then we need to be particular and make sure that we are following the details. Some of us are missing the details. We want the end product. Talk to me. We want the end product. But God, I'm not going to give you the end product. You follow the details along the way. You follow A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and we'll get to Z. You want Z now, you're not getting Z now. You take care of A first, then you take care of B, and then you take care of C, then you take care of D. Follow the detail. That's the problem with many of us. God, don't bother me with the detail. Give me the stuff. Place me exactly where you want me to be. Give me what I want. I want a husband. I want a wife. No detail. Just give me what I want. Lord, give me a wife. Give me a husband. Well, maybe God's not going to give you one until you follow the details that lead up to that. Amen. There might be some points that you need to follow before God will give you a wife. Or before God will give you a husband. But no, no, no. Lord, give me a wife. Give me a husband. Don't bother me with the details that lead up to it. That's our problem. Is it not? That's our problem. So whether day or night, God said to his people, you follow. Are you still with me? Look at verse 22, just a further principle about guidance. Look at verse 22. Don't miss this. And whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Note then verse 22, whether it were 2 days, a month, or a year. That's a bit of a 2 days, a month, a year. That's a lot of scope, Is it not? And the point I want to make is this, that if you and I are to enjoy the guidance of God, then you and I need to be pliable. We need to be flexible. And we need to allow God to stretch us as He wills. And we need to stop putting God in this little box. The box of how we want it to happen. And we just need to let God be God. Allow God to stretch us for 2 days, or maybe a month, or maybe a year. We need to be pliable. Need to be flexible. Then God will guide. Many of us are not flexible. We're not pliable. Talk to me. It's true, isn't it? We have God in a box. Say, God, you've got to work this way. In my timetable. This is now. You've got to work. God, are you up there? Where are you? That's not how God works. Need to be flexible. And if you want the guidance of God, you need to just simply say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Open-ended. There's no written contract between us and God. God holds the title deeds for your life. Thy will be done. Whether it be 2 days, whether it be a month, or whether it be a year, it's up to you. Oh, if you'll be flexible. Oh Lord, I'm prepared to be a missionary, but only within Australia. My friend, if that's your attitude, then you are not going to know God's guidance. But if your attitude is, Lord, wherever, whenever, for how long, watch out, God will guide. And last but not least this evening, look at verse number 22. We need to be particular in following specific instructions. We also need to be pliable. We need to be flexible. But note in verse 22, the Bible makes reference to the commandment. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. Then again, verse 23, at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord. At the commandment of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. The commandment, the commandment, the commandment of the Lord. 3 times in one verse. My point is simply this, that we need to be obedient to God's word, God's commandment. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the Bible teaches us, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's called the complete word of God. And God does speak. He speaks in and through the word of God. God no longer speaks through dreams. God doesn't speak through angels or visions. God speaks through His sure word, the complete word of God. The commandments of God. And as the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, so the word of the Lord will come unto you and I personally. And as you and I will spend and endeavor to spend quality time with God on a daily basis, God will guide. God leads through His word. God speaks through His word. This is a living word. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. God speaks through His commandments. He speaks through His word. The commandments, the commandments, the commandments. And let me encourage you, my friend, if you want to know the guidance of God upon your life, then we need to stay in the word of God And we need to submit to the commandments of the Lord, that God will speak from His Word. God is able. This is a living Word. It's the Word of God. And no matter your circumstances, God is able to speak through His Word. You mean that God will actually tell me who to marry, Pastor, from the Bible? Yes, He will. Their name might not be in the Bible. Maybe their Christian name might be in the Bible. But I can assure you that God will use His Word to guide you into who to marry and who not to marry. Amen. God speaks through His Word, His commandments. Are you wanting guidance? Or over this tabernacle during the day? The cloud, beyond providing shade for the tabernacle proper, it was there to remind God's people concerning God's guidance. And then during the night, there was the likeness of a fire, once again to remind God's people concerning His presence and concerning His guidance. The cloud and fire was a visible reminder that God was their guide. And for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God abides within you and I by the presence of His Spirit. And with His presence comes the potential for guidance, for direction. But we need to live within the boundaries of the Word of God. We need to honor these principles concerning God's guidance. We need to be mindful that God's presence and His guidance are one. Walk with God. If you want to know God's will for your life, walk with God. God does not play hide and seek with the child of God. He doesn't like hide and seek. Not His game. He's there to reveal His will. His presence and His guidance are one. Cleave to the promise that His guidance is there. Always. Be prepared to follow. Make sure that you don't expect God to follow you. Number four, be patient. Wait. Number five, be particular in following specific instructions. Take those little steps. Number six, be pliable. Be flexible. 2 days, 1 month, a year. And number seven, when God speaks through His Word, His commandments, respond. And God will speak. Are you in need of guidance? Well, there's seven principles that if we will just consider them, apply them, receive them with thanksgiving, we'll know the guidance of God. And really, at the end of the day, if God hasn't led you otherwise, just stay put. Amen. You know, we get impatient, and yet God's saying, well, just relax. Just stay put. Just be faithful. Wait. Be patient. You follow me. I'm not following you. May God guide us into the center of His perfect will. And whatever God has for you, rest assured of the fact that God wants to guide you. But please, let's be mindful that we're honoring these seven principles. Let's pray.